You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. I did it right that time.
You did. You sure did. And without any...
Now people know behind the scenes secrets.
That I know.
I'm too technologically challenged to like record a clip and then put it in every week.
I like the term technologically impaired.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, welcome to another episode of Off the Record. My name's Andrew. With me is Corland.
Hey there.
We were just talking about the Canadian accent, eh?
And like every hockey interview ever, so.
Yeah, and I listened to a podcast. I won't say which one, but they're Americans. And then sometimes the one guy was born in Canada, but he lives in the States now. And then occasionally they'll just go into this like... Yeah, I was at a Leafs game. Oh, were you there, pal? Okay, so let's talk about it. And then, yeah, they just do like a flawless Canadian accent. It's so great.
It is.
And my wife's American, so she hears it often.
It's a stereotype that I am in love with. I love that stereotype
of great. That accent. Just a couple of hosers here sitting down and having our double doubles.
Right? Anyways. A couple of Wayne Gretzky's.
Okay, so if you're new to the podcast, we do regular episodes, which we're going to drop a regular episode tomorrow.
Woo.
With our buddy,
it'll be good.
Our buddy Cameron. And but occasionally we'll do just an off the record where Corlin and I, because we both work at the church, we'll have an idea, or sometimes we just come with a couple ideas and talk about stuff, and it's more unscripted and just kind of off the record.
A little bit less planned out.
And nothing can be held against us because this is technically off the record. Yeah. So last week we recorded an episode called The Art of Disagreeing and got some really good feedback from it. And it came out of, I think, my own feelings from the last couple of weeks because I've had, I think I shared on the podcast, I'm like, I feel like 48% of my job is just like putting fires out and making people get along. Mm-hmm. And so it just had me thinking, man, like we don't do a good job of disagreeing as Christians. So I don't know. Do you want to quickly, like, what are some of the stuff we touched on last episode? Oh, so for people who haven't listened to it, we can just kind of like bring them up to speed. Cause today we want to do part two with just a few kind of leftover thoughts.
Yeah. So like a really, really quick and broad brush paint stroke of what last episode was. Like you said, we covered what disagreements are in essence, kind of, right? We talked about... we talked about how to disagree well. So what that means is like when you are approached or in a situation where you maybe see something differently than someone, how would you actually go about that in a Christ-like manner, in a really practical manner? Yeah. What steps can you take to make sure that you're listening well, to actually try and understand, right? Because we all come into any topic of discussion, we come in with our own lenses that we see that topic with. And so we'll be very passionate about it, oftentimes we have very strong convictions around things.
Sure.
So then how do we, with those strong convictions, not compromise on our convictions, but still be willing to listen and possibly even change our convictions depending on if they are presenting truth or something that you feel convicted to change in your own life? And then how do you navigate some of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, in essence, encourage a good discussion around this instead of being a keyboard warrior and just making a mean comment or an angry comment or a really passionate comment that might not actually be beneficial because you don't know the person?
Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of covered, like, in our day and age, it seems like, I don't know. And you made the good point last time. Like, it's been like this since the fall, right?
Yeah.
Human beings have always disagreed and fought over stuff. But we just kind of said, man, lately with COVID, with the trucker convoy, with Ukraine and Russia, it just seems like, I don't know, because of stuff in the world, it just seems like so elevated. It feels like everyone is just kind of on edge.
Every topic seems to be at each other's throats.
Yeah, and we have people that have just very strong convictions on opposite sides of the debate, whether it's COVID mandates, restrictions, whether it's was the trucker convoy good or bad, or... You know, I made that comment, like someone I saw was like, you know, praying for Ukraine, first comment, why not pray for Russia? It's like, that seems like the kind of world that we live in, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about how, you know, social media has aggravated that a little bit because I can sit at home. I don't even have to know somebody and just verbally attack and show my position with no accountability, no relationship. And so then we talked about in the church that happens too with theological things, whether it's women in ministry, whether it's end times stuff, whether, and we just don't know how to go, okay, we can talk and here's my point of view. Okay.
And that we're even supposed to do that, right? It's not just, like, well, I'll hold my view over here and never talk to anyone with a different view because that's bad and they're bad and whatnot. Like, it's important to talk about these types of things.
Yeah. And so basically we said, you know, in James 1, it talks about being slow to speak and quick to hear. We said, you know, that's a good tool to have as you approach disagreements. I want to listen twice as much as I talk. I just want to hear the other person's perspective without, like, okay, I'm just listening for, like, ammo to jump back.
Yeah.
We talked about, like, viewing all sides of, there's always two sides to every story. So I don't want to just, and we used the convoy as an example. I don't want to just hear from people that supported it. I want to hear from someone that thinks it's a bad idea. Okay, well, why? Let me kind of like hear your perspective. I want to hear from a police officer. What was his view of that to like get a fair view of it, of everybody. And then I think that's kind of where we left it as like, there you go.
Hopefully this helps.
And then it was funny because like, you know, you press stop on the recording and then I think I went home and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I got a text like 20 minutes later. I was like, we're going to have to do
a part two because I thought of this, I thought of this. And then the really big one that I want to focus on this morning and actually my sister who's going to listen to this, it was partly like conversations with her, but other people too, like, okay, what do you do when I do those things? Okay, I listen to every side of the story. I listen to the person.
Yeah.
I'm open to it. And what if it's just not reciprocated? The person's like, the person I'm disagreeing with is, I don't want to listen to you. I don't agree. I'm not willing to budge. I don't even want to hear it. What do you do? Do you just go, okay, relationship over? Or how do you navigate that? So a couple of things before we get to that practical one. And actually, Colin, one of the listeners, shout out to Colin.
Hey.
He emailed me and, you know, he listened. And one comment that he made, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have his email in front of me, was like, one of the reasons that we do this, like disagree really poorly and we're just even mean and vindictive. He said he thinks it is that we don't have relationship with people.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And I also
disagree. Very political answer.
Well,
I agree, but I also disagree.
I think that it's the interesting thing with something like that, because he's right. I think in relationship, disagreements should be easier to navigate, right? Because if you have that, for example, you and I have talked about this, where if we disagree on something, or that conversation that we talked about in the last episode where we had talked about how the MB had been endorsing some different spiritual practices that we were like,
sure, yep.
That I came into that conversation very like adamant that no, that should never happen. But Cameron was very, very gracious with me, but we knew each other, right? So in a setting like that, absolutely relationship helps, because I trusted you. I trusted Cameron.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a personal attack that you might say something that I didn't agree with.
Yeah.
It felt like a conversation. It felt, even though it was a disagreement, it felt more like a presentation of ideas is maybe too loose of a word.
Yeah.
But a presentation of different facts instead of it being a debate that you're trying to win and trying to win them over. It was more of a just, oh, well, consider this, chew on this.
Yep.
We didn't agree at all.
Yeah, totally.
But that trust, that friendship, that relationship was huge there. So yes, absolutely. The interesting thing is with our world, we don't always have those relationships with people. Mm-hmm. The way our world is... And so this isn't to like poke and dissect and destroy that comment, because I think it's incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
But just on a practical scale, it doesn't always end up working out like that.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if it did. But even just think of the sermons that you've preached and somebody doesn't agree with a point that you've made. You may not know that person.
That's very true.
But they've been listening to you for 7 years.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, let's use that example. So someone who had listened for a couple years, lives in Abbotsford, never met them before in my life, and got a note from them. And they basically, very gracious, but were like, you know, we were very upset about some sermon back a while ago. I'm trying to be vague because I don't need to give details.
But it's the practical element of like, but is Andrew going to go down and fly down there and build a relationship? Like, I mean, technically you could.
Sure.
But it, practically speaking, that makes it tough then to have those relationships.
Yeah.
Ideally, to work through something like that.
Yeah.
Is it good that that person reached out? Yeah, right? We should address concerns.
So here's the difference, though. Like, that person, bless them, love them, glad that they're listening.
Glad that they reached out, even.
But because I don't have any relationship, I'm like, I have no need to follow up with this. And they didn't give me any way to follow up. So it's just like, okay, appreciate it. Now, if you had come to me and said that, that's different because we're friends and we work together, and I would go, oh, yeah, let's sort this out. You're offended by something.
Let's unpack
Please, like, explain what you mean, and maybe I can explain it better. And it's different because we know each other, right? So I think that's maybe what he was getting at, is, like, if we actually built relationships with people, then a disagreement comes up, and it should be like, well, I'm not willing to lose a relationship over, you know, I said something in a sermon that Corlin got upset about. Okay, well, let's work it out, because it's more important that we're still friends than a silly disagreement. So I think, that's, while you're, I had to share this because I laughed while you were like, I disagree, but I agree, but I also disagree. And I sent this to my family. It was a guy, I've decided I'm going to start answering questions my wife asked me like a politician. Did you empty the dishwasher? Let me be clear. I can't even say it without laughing. I support clean dishes. I have always supported clean dishes. It is imperative that the dishes off of which we eat are clean. I'm like, that's brilliant. No. That's not what I asked, though. Hey, I support.
It's funny, though, because we joke about it, but politicians are trained to speak in a way that, hopefully, not all of them do it well, but hopefully doesn't incite more anger and frustration. So it's interesting, but, like, it's not, it's actually a good point, and I use it quite often, of, like, if someone brings something up, it's like, hey, I hear your concerns, man. I get where you're coming from, right? Because even a simple action like that can be something that, it sounds really dumb, but, like, if someone knows that they've been heard and that their voice is actually appreciated, I guess, would be the word that I'd use.
Yeah.
Even a simple beginning of an interaction like that can leave more ground to actually get into the nitty gritty of that discussion then. So it sounds dumb, but it is sometimes a valuable tool. Let me be clear.
Okay. So relationships, having a relationship with someone can help.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing I thought of is that, when we approach, and we kind of mentioned it slightly, but, like, when we approach a disagreement, oftentimes we feel like you're attacking me.
Yeah.
And that's part of our culture that I absolutely hate. It drives me batty when someone's like, you're being aggressive towards me. It's like, settle down. So I thought, even to come into a disagreement with the mindset, okay, the other person is not my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to this when we talk with couples doing premarital.
Yep.
I'm like, you're going to have arguments as a couple. You're going to have fights as a couple. But if you go into every disagreement going, okay, my wife is not my enemy, we're on the same team, right?
Yep.
So that's specifically marriage. But when you come into it, okay, this person's created in the image of God, so am I. If you're both Christians, this person has the Holy Spirit, so do I.
Yeah.
This person's not my enemy. I even thought, you know, when you talk about spiritual things, when Paul in Ephesians 6 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? Our war is not, I'm not against you as a person when we disagree, but against rulers, authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Like, if you're a believer in Jesus, we all have a common enemy, and it's Satan.
Yeah.
So when we disagree about things, I think sometimes we just automatically, you have a different view than I do? You're my enemy. It's like, no. And I've heard that kind of language recently with COVID. Especially with COVID.
Yeah.
It's like, you choose to not wear a mask, you are my enemy. It's like, no. Wait a second. It's like, did I send you that video of the guy who was like, hi, I have a message.
Yes.
But that's kind of the thing.
Yep.
Oh, you chose to not get vaccinated, you are my enemy
now. If you're not for me, you're against me.
Rather than like, oh, you have a different point of view, and I can respect that. I might go, Corlin's dumb for not getting vaccinated. And you might go, Andrew, I can't believe he just rushed out and got that. But I don't go like, Corlin's now my enemy because he views something. So I think, especially as believers, to not approach or come into a disagreement And it's hard because we get offended and then it's like, oh, this guy's my enemy. No, he's not.
I wonder, I don't know, but I'm curious. We're talking about how obviously disagreements have been a part of life since the fall, right? And how humans have not operated through that well since the fall.
Yeah.
But we've also talked about how like our culture has certain elements like social media that make it almost easier for those things to be accentuated and made worse.
Yep.
I'm curious if, like, what do you think, what are your thoughts around the debate culture that we have right now? So, for example, the person that comes to mind is someone like Ben Shapiro.
And every video is like, watch him destroy his enemy.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, like, whatever your viewpoint on Ben Shapiro is, he's a phenomenal debater in the sense
brilliant.
Of like being able to listen to someone well enough to hear the points that he can draw out so that they stumble in their own points.
Essentially
it's his job to be able to do that, and he is good at it.
Yeah.
But then those videos come across as very passionate and very driven and very like it's attacking what the person has said, but it's not attacking the person, but our culture sees it differently. Do you think that stuff like that, I know there's other people out there, not just Ben Shapiro. It's just a name that is popular. That's why I use it. Do you think that's affected how we view our disagreements then?
It's
like, instead of being a, like I've said, instead of being a presentation of thought and or a disagreement in the sense of being like, hey, I need to talk to this person because I want to understand, it's become more of a debate culture in the sense of I have to change their mind or I have to make them look like they don't know what they're talking about.
Then like so many of the comments are like, ooh, you know, we drink this leftist tears and like, oh, he wrecked them. And then so then it becomes like we're just destroying people.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this idiot get destroyed by Ben Shapiro. And it's kind of like, and again, like you said, we're picking on one guy. Lots of people do that.
Yeah.
See, I actually appreciate, and I've watched debates where it's so respectful.
Yeah.
And you have one guy present, you know, I've watched a few between Christian apologists and atheists. Of course, the name is slipping me, but whatever. And it's just, they're actually friends and they teach at the same university.
Yeah.
They're like, we both teach here at Oxford and we have vastly different views of the origins of the universe.
Yeah.
But they don't stand up and go, can you believe this dummy believes this? It's like, no, they just go, you know, your argument.
And Shapiro doesn't necessarily either. And again, I think something that we forget is that in those instances, it's his job.
Yeah.
He's literally performing the task in which he's been assigned is to do those types of things.
So I think like for believers, then our mindset when we come into disagreements, I think, you know, with other believers or with family members or with, you know, ideas around theology or stuff, we have to like put that kind of thing aside where we go, this person's my enemy because they think that women can be pastors. You're my enemy now. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? So to come in going, okay, we have differences of opinion, but you're not my enemy. You're not. Like, we just think differently. Okay, well, let's talk about it. I think when you go into a disagreement like that, it just changes the whole, I was going to say atmosphere, but...
But it's true. It does.
Yeah, it just changes it because I'm not on edge going, this person, I got to score points off this guy. Because it's just like, no, I actually care. This person is, if they're a believer, a brother or sister in Christ, I actually care about them. I want to hear what they have to say. I might vastly disagree, but that's okay.
And I think too, with hearing what they want to say or have to say, I think a big part of that is understanding what they have to say.
Yeah.
That's okay. Phone call.
We'll just ignore it.
Okay. He'll just keep ringing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time the phone has ever rang.
Hang up.
While we're on the air. Anyways, on the air, that's not true.
We're not live.
Continue.
So where was my thought? Oh boy.
Yeah, it's gone. That's okay.
No, it's there. Oh man. This happens so much after I've
Cassie
had
Cassie afterwards.
Kids. Yeah, I guess so.
You interrupted our... Okay, that's
debates,
okay.
Because thoughts, what was it? Man, that's going to drive me nuts if this one...
Okay,
it
it'll come
one.
Back to you. The other thing I thought...
Oh!
Here it is.
Got it. Boom. Nice. Good job. So something I've noticed, Aaron and I are relatively newlywed.
Yeah.
But already, believe it or not, like you said, married couples have disagreements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I have found invaluable, at least from my end, and I haven't talked to her about this before I say it, but for me, going into a discussion about something that I maybe don't agree with her on,
yeah,
it is invaluable to approach that as a trying to understand her position as much as possible to see if I actually disagree with it.
Yeah, right.
Because on surface level, I might. But it, when I start to listen to her and try and understand why she has come to the conclusion that she has come to, and she does the same for me, is asking questions of like, well, why is that? Like, what, without like a really broad question of like, why do you come to that conclusion? Like, what, trying to figure that out helps so much with trying to actually, again, it's not a debate. You're not trying to score points. You're not trying to win an argument or convince the other person.
Yeah.
If you approach it as trying to understand why they have come to that point,
yeah,
you may not even change your conclusion. But if you can understand why they have come to that point, I think it can help you better make decisions around that too, and how you navigate whatever happens afterwards, right? Yeah. Because if we're approaching these things out of love and whatnot, we shouldn't approach them out of like a dictatorship type attitude where, no, I am going to have the final word here.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear what you have to say, but I'm not going to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's really good. So building relationship helps. The other person's not your enemy. And then the last thing I thought of before we get into like, what do you do when it doesn't work out? Like ideally.
Yep.
Is in Philippians 2, it talks about thinking of people as more important than yourself.
Hmm.
Molly and I use this passage often when we do premarital counseling because, so I'll just read it. It talks about, obviously I think we all know the like, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, talking about Jesus. But before that, I like, that Paul says, so that if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And then he says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves.
Hmm.
Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Here's the example.
Yeah, and we don't like that.
No. So we often tell couples, like, if you go into an argument or a disagreement, or not even that, if you just live your life,
yeah,
if I wake up every day and go, okay, today I want to treat Molly like she's more important than me, I mean, that will vastly change your attitude throughout the day.
Yeah.
Because, and then if your partner then wakes up every day going, okay, how can I treat Andrew better than I treat myself? And that doesn't mean that, well, now I'm going to treat myself like garbage. It's not about low self-esteem. It's not about any of that.
No. Nope.
Because he says, you look to your own interests, but don't just do that. Look to the interests of others.
Yeah.
And I think, too, when you have a disagreement or you have an argument or you have some issue with somebody, to go into it going, okay, in this conversation, in this argument, in this disagreement, I'm going to do my best to treat the other person as more important than myself. That doesn't mean that you have to go, okay, fine, I'll just agree with you.
Yeah, it's not a compromise at all.
It's just going, okay, I'm not gonna get angry and yell at them because I want to treat them like they're more, even if they do that to me, that's okay.
Yeah,
I want to listen more than I talk, like we said last episode, because I want to treat them like their words are more important than mine. You talk, you have the floor. I'm just going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus did. So like, that's the example, right? Jesus is God, but he didn't even consider that was something that he would use to his advantage. He actually just didn't even think about that. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death on a cross. And then Paul says, have that same kind of mindset, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So I think that's huge. And all of these are kind of related, right? I have a relationship with someone. They're not my enemy. I want to treat them like they're more important than me. But I just thought, man, if we could just do that as people, right? Easier said than done.
Yeah.
But if I could just, in all my interactions, man, I just want that person to leave our interaction going, man, I felt so valued and appreciated.
Yeah.
And wow, we disagreed, but I felt like I was listened to. I felt like I got to talk more than they did. Like, I think that would vastly change rather than leaving going, oh, I can't believe that they...
For me, that was the experience with that interaction that we had with Cameron.
Yeah.
I left and I, like, most of the time a disagreement leaves you leaving kind of like, come on.
Yeah.
But I seriously left and I was stoked. Yeah. Like I was actually really excited.
Yeah.
And we didn't even leave on necessarily the same terms on that.
Yeah.
But it was those things. It was like, I felt valued. I felt cared for. Yeah. I felt loved in the sense of like, he let me speak. You guys let me speak. Yeah. And you didn't ridicule me if I said something wrong. Right. Like all of those things. So I think one thing before we get into that too, that I would like to touch on is just some really practical things that you can do if you're in a disagreement. One, breathe. Sounds dumb, but do it.
I think I learned that on Daniel Tiger with my kids.
Maybe. But
take a deep breath and count to three.
There is literally like God has designed us in such an incredible way. A lot of Christian culture would like demonize anything that has to do with our physical bodies because it's like, nope, it's not spiritual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would argue otherwise and say, look, if you're doing it for things other than the glory of God, don't do it.
Yeah.
But that's the same with anything.
Yeah.
God has designed our bodies so that, you know, even if you're breathing in through your nose slowly and then out through your mouth and holding it for like a couple of seconds, literally that releases chemicals in your body that help you calm down. That's just factual.
It's so not, if I do that really, really fast, it's better, right? Like hyperventilate?
You'll get different varied results with the speed of varied results with the varied speeds in which you breathe. But if you slow down your breathing, take that second, and you might feel really stupid if you're talking and you just like take a deep breath and slowly breathe out. Yeah. Your counterpart might be intimidated. Who knows? But for you, it can help you calm down. Yeah. Right? Literally, physically speaking, it's fact that that happens.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would say is give it time.
Yeah, that's good.
When you're having a discussion, don't expect to walk away on the same page within that discussion.
Yeah, can I jump in here? So Molly and I are very different. She actually needs time before a disagreement because in the moment, she can't organize her thoughts. It just feels so like she feels very pressured. So we've learned over the years like, if we're going to have a disagreement, she actually needs to go and like write out some thoughts and think and then actually, and sometimes it feels dumb, but she might even just read some of her thoughts off the page rather, because I'm the opposite. I'm just like, let's just talk about it right now. I can spitball. And so we've learned that how to like, because that's true. Some people just process differently. Yeah. I just need time. And for someone who doesn't need time to just go, okay, I can respect that. I'm not going to force you. Okay.
Yeah.
Take an hour, go think.
Yep.
And then we can talk.
We had very wise counsel from Don, who is one of the counselors here and used to do the podcast. Actually, if you go way back into the episodes,
into the archives.
Yeah. And essentially it was the same information because Aaron and I are the same pattern there where Aaron needs time to process. I would love to just discuss it all now and come to a conclusion. And I'm able to do that for the most part. But they gave very wise counsel of like, Corland, give space because it won't always happen right away. But also Aaron, sometimes Corland will need an answer, right?
Yeah.
So when you're having a disagreement, just that thought, if you have relationship with the person to the extent that you know if they need time, present the facts that you need to present. There are times that you're going to need to bring it up right away and you can't necessarily afford to, so to speak, bring it up a week from now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring it up, but give them time. Even bringing it up could look like saying, hey, I've noticed this and I would like to talk about it. Is now a good time?
Yeah.
No, I need a little bit of time. Okay. But ask, okay, let's set a time then. Let's do this then.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've noticed and I'm, by no means, if you're listening, don't think that I'm throwing Aaron under the bus in my life. It's just a fact. There are times where we have discussions, good discussions, and she's very gracious in letting us discuss them right away. But I will leave that discussion knowing that 2 or 3 days from now, we'll probably have it again.
Sure.
But from her point of view, because it just takes that time and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're discussing things with people that you know, if you don't know these things, take it into consideration. Even for yourself, hearing the things that they're saying, you might need to chew on them for a few days before you make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
So take time to do it. Don't expect it to be instantaneous just because you dropped a really smart saying on them and now everything's going to be better. And then the other thing is make sure that you are informed on both sides is what I would say.
Yeah.
Like we talked about that example of the coin and having that center ground that is very slim, but it's there.
Yeah.
That it's part of that listening thing, right? Both sides need to make sure that you're listening to each other, asking good questions, understanding the details.
Yeah.
because it can even then help you inform why they might not be understanding your point of view. Mm-hmm. Aaron and I have many times been like, man, like, I think you, when you say certain words, they're the same words, the same meaning, but you mean them differently than me.
Sure.
So when I say something, it might not mean the same thing to you because of the way we take into context things. So then to try and understand, okay, well, how can I explain this in a different way rather than just punching the same word into the same sentence in the same conversation, to go from a different angle maybe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think like this is all so good because like let's use a practical example. Let's use the practical and controversial. Let's use the vaccination and the mask thing. Yep. Because I think, so you have people on very different sides. Mm-hmm. I have people in my own family on very different sides. The vaccine's going to save us all. Okay. And I'm going to go get however many boosters they want. Okay. That's fine.
Yep.
And then you have people on the other side of the debate that go, I don't want a vaccine. The COVID has a death rate of 0. Whatever. I've looked into it logically. It just doesn't work for me. So here's the problem then. We, all of these things that we've talked about, it's like we do the opposite of them. Yeah. And then we wonder, why are our relationships suffering?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I think vaccines are very effective. And I even know someone who's immune compromised. So I'm going to do my part. And then I have a friend over there that's not going to do it. So my automatic assumption is you're selfish. You don't care about people. You don't care if my grandma dies.
Yeah.
And we may not even talk to them.
Yeah.
What are your reasons for not getting vaccinated? I'm just curious. It's like we go into it with, you're my enemy. I don't want to listen to you. Blah, 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 blah. And then you wonder, why is our relationship so strained?
Yeah.
And that person probably has never even heard of your grandma who's immune compromised. And that's not their reasons for getting it. But we just automatically or do it vice versa.
Yep.
You decided to get vaccinated. You're a sheep. You don't have a backbone. You only do what the government says. It's like that might not be true at all.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's like a front and center example right now. Right. So I'll even use the mask thing. You know, in 1 week, I had two very different comments. I don't remember if I shared this last time. If I did, whatever. But I had one person say to me, if you wear a mask, that's you swearing allegiance to the government and not to Jesus. So you're coming with an assumption, right, that you're not as Christian as I am because I don't wear a mask and my allegiance is to Jesus. And it's like, okay. Then, like a few days later, I had the exact opposite comment. You know, you guys, because you don't enforce masks at the church, you guys are, all of your motivation is you're rebellious against the government. That can be the only explanation. It's like, well, wait, right?
Yeah.
So no one's talking to each other.
Yeah.
We're just mad at each other and making assumptions and not willing to listen. Oh, that's why you wear a mask. Oh, okay. Yep. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Oh, your mother is really sick and you're just doing it out of respect for her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to be rude and call you a sheep. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if we would just do all these little things and then like, I think then a lot of this animosity and anger would just kind of go, oh, okay, I see your point of view.
Yeah. It would humanize us, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Because all we're doing is like, you're just the argument for the other side. You're not Corland. You're just the unvaccinated, unmasked dude.
Yep.
Right. And it's like, well, no. Don't do that.
There's more to it.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I definitely agree.
So I know we could talk like all day, but hopefully those things are helpful to think through as you have disagreements with people. But lastly, this is the one that's like, what do you do when it just doesn't go well? Like, what do you do run, burn that bridge. But what do you do, right? So let's say, I'll just use us as an example. We sit down, we have a disagreement. I'm going to paint you as the bad guy in this situation. But let's say that I come in and I'm like, okay, Corlin's not my enemy. Okay, I want to treat him as more important than myself. Mm-hmm. I want to listen more than I speak. I want to hear his side of the story. What if you come and you do all of those biblical things?
Yep.
And it still doesn't go well. And the other person is unwilling to listen, is attacking you. And you have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, The wonderful thing about this is there is no cookie cutter answer. Because your situations will be different and it'll be about different things. Some of the things might be like a life or death type situation, and other things might just be if you like pineapple on pizza or not.
Yeah.
So like your responses can vary. I think generally speaking though, what are we as Christians called to do even to our enemies?
Yeah, totally. Right?
So now what I'm not saying is that, well, if they disagree with you and they never listen, that they have become your enemy.
No.
But if they start...
treating you like an enemy...
and acting like it,
yep.
What are we called to do? Love them.
And pray for them.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Right? It's really, really tough to do, but you can still love someone and disagree with them. Harshly in the sense of like standing very firm on what you believe.
Yep.
Right? I had an experience in my life where I was in a position of leadership and somebody on the team did not agree with my stance on some stuff.
Are you talking about you and me?
No, I'm not talking about this example.
Let's call him A-E-B.
we'll call him Andrew just so no one knows.
Just kidding. Continue.
Yeah. And so we disagreed very, very strongly on certain points. Mm-hmm. And was there things that I didn't do perfectly? Yes. Was there things that could have gone better, smoother, and had discussions about it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I can look back and know that. But in those moments I made the decisions that I had made.
Yeah.
But when the conversations ended about that and we came to a point where we needed to keep moving forward, When you approach a situation like that, I think it's important to remember, like you said, to consider them more important than yourselves.
Yeah.
So I know we talk a lot about like, you don't have to compromise on your beliefs, but for me, I didn't want to become a stumbling stone.
Sure.
To show that person that I cared about people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there were certain things that I did compromise on.
Yep.
Because it was like, okay,
for the sake of the relationship or whatever.
Yeah, yep. It is not worth it.
Sure.
No matter my stance. And was there some things that I still stood firm on? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? But I think that we can do those things in love.
Yeah.
So for example, the other day I was in McDonald's and it wasn't a huge disagreement or whatnot. But the staff came up and asked me to wear a mask. I had to hold my tongue because I was, for me personally, I was quite frustrated. I wanted I wanted to say something back. I wanted to be, you know, argumentative, really, is what my heart was at that point.
Yeah.
And I chose, no, you know what? They're doing their job. I might not agree with this, but okay. So I put it on because it's not worth it to for some of those things stand firm to the point. Because at the end of the day, the mask is not your allegiance to Jesus or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's in our hearts.
Yes.
Right? And so, I don't know, if you stand firm on a conviction like that, okay, that is your choice.
Yeah.
And we should make sure that our conscience is clear before God and make sure that we are not sinning.
Yes.
But if there is hatred in your heart or any of those things and you're choosing to do those things because of that, I would argue, check yourself, right? Yeah. So when you don't agree with someone and you're in relationship with them, though, like, for example, in a family, it's tough.
Yeah, totally.
Really tough.
Yep.
And your situation will look different. But again, approaching it with love, softly, not militant. It might mean that you need some distance for a little while. Yeah,
totally. Right?
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can feel really guilty if we look at a situation and say, hey, I need some space.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's an unbiblical thing to pull away for a little bit and cool down or literally just give some space so that you can both breathe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of being at each other's throats. And then if it doesn't resolve, then maybe that space needs to continue, because if you're not... If it's going to be something that draws you to a hatred of that other person, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I think we can still love people from a distance, so to speak.
Whoa.
Might look different.
Yeah.
And it can be really tough and heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Depending on the scenario. An example that I might throw out there is early on in COVID, I had been posting some satirical articles by the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
And I personally thought they were very funny. I thought that they were quite humorous and not hurtful or anything, because they weren't pointed at any one person. It was more so pointed at certain things government was doing with COVID.
Yeah.
And one of my relatives was quite adamant on some of those posts about how he felt.
Yeah.
So a couple of things is I chose not to respond on Facebook.
Yep.
Because you can't hear the tone of voice or anything. But I also chose just not to post them.
Yeah.
Right? It looks different. I choose not to post them because why would I intentionally burn that bridge? If I can't have a face-to-face conversation with that person about it, and show them that love and respect that that person deserves, that space is okay then, right? To agree to disagree and avoid a topic like that, I don't think is always wrong.
Sure. Yep.
In certain scenarios.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for finally asking.
Right?
I wrote down a few ideas. Like, it's not your job to change anybody's heart or...
Yeah.
The goal is not to win arguments. I think we think, like you said, it's like we got like a tally. Yes. And I won that argument. That's not the goal. I'm thinking specifically like spiritual things. The goal is not to, you know, argue someone into heaven. The goal is not to.
Yeah.
All right. That's the Holy Spirit is the one who softens people's hearts. The Holy Spirit's the one that convinces people, convicts them. It's not my job. I can just actually relax. I don't have to freak out that, right? And that's hard because we want to be in control, but just to admit like, okay, God, you're the one who can help mend this relationship through this disagreement. I don't have to stress about that. The other thing is to pray. And, you know, we've talked about that. And it's interesting. I've been thinking about this lately, and this might be a rabbit trail. But, you know, we talk about praying for, you know, restrictions to end, praying for COVID to end, praying for the government, praying for Ukraine. And I've heard the comment recently that like, we need to pray, but eventually you got to do something. Mm-hmm. And that comment grated me, and I think I figured out why. I think that comment proves that we don't think that prayer actually works. Hmm. It's like, pray about it, obviously, but eventually... You got to go do something. Well, isn't prayer doing something, right?
Yeah.
And I get the sentiment behind it that, you know, do we take responsibility ourselves? Sure. But like there's so much in this book, I'm pointing at the Bible for those of you who can't see, about prayer.
Yeah.
Like James 5, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then he prayed again and then it started raining, and we go, well, but did he do anything about it? He prayed. So I think to not underestimate the power of prayer, like when you have a disagreement with someone and it's really straining the relationship and the other person is just not willing to budge, and it's causing to actually like commit to, okay, I'm gonna steadfastly pray for this individual. I think that's huge. And sometimes that's all you can do, because talking to this person is not helping.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, if they're treating you like an enemy, well, we're commanded to pray for our enemies. Okay.
Yeah. In a Christ-like way, treat them like an enemy then too. In
yeah.
The sense of
yeah.
love them. And
then the other thing that I thought of was in Romans 12, where Paul's talking about the marks of a true Christian. Hmm. And then he says like a few things: bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And again, is that person who disagrees with you persecuting you? Well, maybe not, but bless them anyways. Don't curse them.
Yeah.
So if I have a disagreement with a family member, I'm not going to under my breath go, what an idiot. I'm just going to actually go, man, I hope they're having a great day. I hope God blesses them today. Hmm. That's the mark of a true Christian. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. So meaning like arrogant.
Yep.
Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. repay no one evil for evil. So even if someone says evil things about me, I don't need to say evil things about them.
Yeah.
I can just leave it at that. And then I love that Paul says in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I love that he doesn't, as far from your end of the deal, live at peace with people. And you can go, Well, they're not living at peace with me. That's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You can't control their, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with them. Yeah. And then he goes on, never avenge yourselves. And then he says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think there's something there where it's like this relationship is strained because we disagree so adamantly. Mm-hmm. I can still bless them. I can still do everything from my side to live at peace with them. I can practically feed them, give them something to drink.
Yeah.
And I don't need to overcome evil with evil. And I can just kind of like take a step back and say, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. Like I got nothing to help this situation.
Yeah.
And the hard part is that relationship might be strained for a while.
Yeah.
And just to rest going like, okay, I know before God from my end of the deal, I'm living at peace with them.
Yeah.
And my conscience is clear. I'm not cursing them. I'm not repaying evil with evil. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Right.
I really appreciate that you brought up prayer. That's, I think in disagreements, especially like disagreements across the board, but especially when you're in relationship with those people praying about it, right? Because you brought up the example of like, well, you can pray about it, but eventually you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think prayer is a good place to start because who knows? If we're praying not just to be militant about our prayer, but like actually seeking the will of God, you might be called to do something.
Yep.
But you might also be called to just leave it.
Yes.
And let God work, right? So I think with prayer, our attitude should be seeking the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, then a willingness, I think oftentimes when I pray, the things that I'll pray for is wisdom on how to navigate a situation.
Yeah.
And then the courage to act out what God is asking me to do.
Yep.
Because sometimes it could be hard.
Yeah, totally.
Right? God might ask you to do something that you're not willing at that moment to do or comfortable to do.
Yep.
But then that courage and that heart of surrender to be able to say, okay, I will do your will, God, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
It might be standing up, it might be sitting back.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think we'll leave it at that. I think we wrapped up some loose ends, just some thoughts that came after the fact. So hopefully that's helpful. If you listened to part one, hopefully this kind of, I don't know, answers questions that I had once we were done. I'm like, wait, what about this?
Yeah.
And as always, if you have, I don't know, more questions, you can always reach out to us. Let us know if it's helpful or, anyways, I think we'll leave it at that. And for sure, eh?
Thanks for listening, eh? It was pretty good, eh? We'll talk to
you hosers later, okay? Anyways, have a good week and we'll talk to you soon.